God is good all the time, even in the midst of flu season. For those of you out there gathering with us on Facebook or YouTube, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know that it is our mission in life to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. I got one. No, I got a lot more than that. Because God does truly love us, and we all know that, and it's from His love that we come back to Him. And it's in that love that I want to talk to you about something today that I pray you will come to understand. Because today we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, because again, the Lord just, we're going to preach the whole way through 1 Peter coming into Advent here. We're going to be at verses 13 through 22 in chapter 3, and I've entitled this, Christian Suffering Unto God, Not From God. All right? We need to understand some very real concepts about the things that we go through in life. There's a lot of people that, you know, they complain, why is God doing this to me? Why is God causing this to happen in my life? And the reality is, it's not God causing these things in your life. God has allowed them to come into your life. And the sufferings that happen to us or in us are not because God causes them to happen, but God gave us a free will. And in that free will, we, as a race, chose sin. And that sin now permeates our very flesh. So it is from that sin nature and from all the sin that has happened since the beginning to now that has changed us in such a way that suffering happens in our world. God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of the middle of the garden, because the day you do, you will surely die. And what he meant by that was not the fact that they would die immediately, but that death would come upon them. And that death would be both a physical death and a spiritual death. And we all know it takes time to die, correct? Some of us live 84 years, if by reason, according to God's word. Some people get a little bit longer and some people get a little bit less. And that all has to deal with the fact that sin is in our lives, in this world. And it deteriorates this body and everything with it. How many of you like it when Arthur visits? That would be arthritis. You know, it hurts when arthritis shows up, doesn't it? You know, there are mornings I wake up and my hip is telling me, don't get out of bed. And then there are days when I wake up and my knee is telling me, don't stand up, don't stand up, don't stand up. And I don't listen. And I get up and I make them both groan and moan and complain to me the whole day long. Because you got to keep it going forward. Amen? And that's what we need to understand today. And I'm talking about some physical suffering there because of pain and ailments and all that stuff that happens. And it happens to all of us. But there are other types of suffering that come as well. Sufferings that come from external things in our world. How many of us are suffering right now because we see the hardships out there in the world? This COVID is not something to laugh about, all right? It's stressing people out. People are depressed. You know, when you start looking around, the election still isn't over, all right? It just amazes me where we are as a society, and yet here we go. And how many of us, our friendships or our relationships are all hunky-dory? We don't have anything to work on. We don't have anybody that's upset with us right now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everything's turning up roses, right? You know what it takes to turn up roses? A lot of manure. That's just simple. Fertilizer, all right? And we need to understand that. And that stuff's going to come into our lives. So today, I want us to look at these scriptures. Beginning, we're going to only look at two scriptures here at first as we start. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, we read these words. We're only going to do 13 and 14. It says, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. Now, you know, it's easy to be told something, isn't it? It's easy to be told something because, you know, how many of us, you know, my mom and dad used to tell me, oh, please don't worry about that. Well, what was the very next thing you're going to do about it? Worry. Yeah, yeah. You know, we as parents have learned reverse psychology. Tell your children not to be afraid of something and they'll be afraid of it. Okay? Tell your children to fear something and they'll run right to it without any, you know, it's like, well, I'm not afraid of that. And, you know, it's just so amazing. You know, my parents used to tell me, oh, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. I was petrified of the dark as a little kid because I didn't know what was out there and my dad didn't help. I can remember one time the lights were out at our house. There was no electricity, and my dad sent me down in the basement to get potatoes. You know, that's where we had our potato bin. I got to the bottom of the steps, and he threw a sneaker down the steps. And he said, oh, it's a rat! Man, I'm telling you, if there were not cement walls there, I'd have been outside. Because I tried to go through those steps, going up the steps. Oh, my heavens. You know, our parents love us, but they can do some terrible things to us. Amen. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? And that's my point in this. God doesn't bring this suffering to us. People do. And circumstances in life do. The scripture here tells us from verse 13, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? Please, I want you to understand something. It says harm you. All right? There's hurt and there's harm. A lot of us get hurt. Hurt's temporary. Harm's permanent. Okay? God will allow us to get hurt. He will allow us to be tested and tried. Okay? But God is not going to harm us. That is his promise to us. You know, I think it's funny because when you think about where I'm headed here, I want us to remember that God says nothing in all of creation can separate us from his love. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. You all know this scripture. I've used this scripture many times, and it's a scripture that all of us are familiar with. Romans chapter 8. Verses 31 through 39. Because I want us to understand that God knows these things are going to come. He gives us free will, right? How many of us actually choose to suffer? How many of us actually choose to do the things that cause pain in our lives? But God is also talking about the other things that come at us. Because it's the things that we don't choose, the things that are thrust upon us that are being spoken of here or being spoken about here. And he says to us from the 31st verse, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Blessed be his name. Can I get an amen on that one? When you and I understand, when Peter here is talking to us, Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? This is in context to our living hope, okay? Knowing that Jesus Christ is there for us and that in all things there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can take us away from that. Jesus says to us, Jesus has said to us in his word, nothing, no one can snatch us from his hand. That's the greatest harm that could ever befall us, is to lose our salvation, to have it ripped away from us, to have it stripped away from us. And that cannot happen. Who can harm you? Nobody. We may have to suffer momentarily in this life. But when we do, okay, from verse 14, it says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. What is he talking about there? In other words, hardships are going to come your way. Just by being a Christian, hardships are going to come your way. You folks out there, I think it's funny. The world says, you know, all these people are Christians. They're all weak. You know, they got to have a crutch to lean on. I'm telling you right now, one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life is be a Christian. Because it calls me to a whole nother level. It calls me to a level that says no matter what happens to me, no matter how hard I get abused or hurt or harmed by this world, none of that can touch my salvation. None of that can touch my eternity. None of that can touch my love of Christ and the love of God for me. And therefore, all these things I can deal with because I know my reward is in heaven. And can I get an amen on that from you? So you see, dear brothers and sisters, God does not create suffering to come to us. All right? But when suffering does come, we are to suffer it unto God. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at verses 15 and 16 first, and then we'll get there. He says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you were slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. You see, this world is going to do everything it can. The powers that be, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little while too. The powers that be, and I'm talking the spiritual forces of evil in this world, want to put us down because we are the light of the world. They don't want you to shine your light. They want you to be depressed and oppressed. Okay? They want you to be of no effect in this world. So therefore, it's going to come at you. It is going to come at you hard. But I need you to remember one thing. We are to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. Always. Always being ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that you have. Because no matter what comes at you in life, no matter how hard things get, where's your eternity? Where's your eternity? Where's your eternity? And that's a question that we have to ask. If you were to die today, where would you go? And that's the reality. For those of us who are in Christ, we know that if we die today, if we died in this moment, we would be in glory. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's God's word. All right? You know, that's why I tell people when they tell me that, oh, you know, my grandma visited us the other day. It's like, no, that wasn't your grandma. Ghosts are real, but they're not people. Okay? They're demons who take the shapes and forms of the people we know. Please hear that, okay? If you are dead, you are in one of two places, heaven or hell. And this ain't hell. Close to it, right next door. But it ain't hell. All right? So we need to remember, when we perish, we as Christians, we're not going to be in purgatory. That place doesn't exist. There's no such place. We are going to be, if you're in Christ, with the Lord. And that means we have received our goal. We have received our living hope. Because we will not die. This flesh may die, but the spirit will not. So as we go through this life and we suffer in this life, please sanctify Christ in your heart. That in all things we are suffering just as Christ suffered, for others to see that we have a hope that goes beyond the suffering that we see or that we endure. So the next time somebody gets you upset because they did something stupid, remember, they did something stupid. Like, you don't do that stuff, right? So the next time somebody is causing suffering in your life, show them the very thing Christ showed you. It's called grace. Because I hate to tell you this, but you put Christ on the cross. Yeah, you. You. And I'm looking at every person right now, so I don't miss anybody. If I had a mirror, I'd put one in front of me, because it's me too. All right? That is something we all have to take personally, because we individually put Christ on the cross. And yet he went willingly, because he knew that on the other side of the cross there was a joy that was far greater than anything that any of us could ever hope for. And that joy for Jesus was us coming to know him. So our joy in suffering is to sanctify Christ in our hearts. That as we are going through these sufferings, it is not just for ourselves, but it is for those who are witnessing those very sufferings, that they too may come to know the Christ that suffered on the cross for them. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you are doing in your suffering is sharing your Christian faith with those who don't know him and strengthening those around us that do. I want you to think about that. You know, every Sunday I watch Ruth Ann come in here, and it takes her a couple minutes to get from the door to her chair. And every so many months, it takes just a little bit longer. But she still gets from that door to that chair. And in that, I rejoice. Not because of her suffering, but in spite of her suffering. Because she's not letting it hold her down. How many of us are going to keep doing that until the end? How many of us are going to sanctify Christ in our hearts until the end? Not halfway through and get the poor me's and give up. How many of us like to give up? How many of you have quit something because it just got too tough? Yeah, we've all done it. Every one of us, if we want to be honest, should be raising our hands right there, because we've all done it. This walk is going to be the toughest thing you're ever going to do. And Jesus says, he who perseveres halfway through gets the crown, right? No. And Jesus said, he who perseveres to the end, I will give the crown of life. Brothers and sisters, our suffering is not from God. It's unto God. That he may be glorified in all that we are, as he is sanctified in our hearts. That he is God and he is here for us. And as we continue forward, it's understanding that this is the portion where it is unto him. From verse 17. He says, for it is better if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than doing what is wrong. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. How many people in this world suffer for doing what is wrong? Only those who get caught. Think about that. Okay? Now, that's not true because there's a lot of people suffering for doing wrong because their bodies are paying the price for it right now. But in most cases, the only reason you suffer for doing wrong is if you get caught, all right? You know, I think that's funny because, you know, nothing is illegal unless you get caught. Isn't that the way it works? How many of us drive over the speed limit? Okay? The only time it matters is when? When you get caught. That's not the truth. The reality is, for every time you break the law, you're breaking the law. You're standing before God, all right? So we need to remember, it's better to suffer for doing that which is good, because when we're doing that which is good, God is going to honor us, and he's going to show his love through us. Where if we who are Christians suffer for doing what is wrong, what happens? We lose our witness. If we're doing something that's wrong, we should suffer for it because we're in Christ and we're not supposed to be doing those things. So God here is talking right from wrong. And if we are suffering for doing right, that's a glory unto God. Unto God. Because we're honoring him in doing that which is right, even when the world doesn't want us to. And I'm going to tell you right now, especially you young folks out there, you live in a world that is not going to appreciate all the things that you won't do anymore. And in Christ, there are a bunch of things you shouldn't be doing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. The question is, are you going to stop doing them? I'll let you answer that privately. Because it took us all a while to get there, okay? I think it's funny because most of our young people are over there in that corner, and the rest of us are over here. Oh, this is the old folks section. But the reality is, even us older people, we still struggle with some of these things because there are some things that we still do. How about it, Brother Rick, that we know we shouldn't? And we need to change and do that which is right, okay? I just told Miss Beth earlier today, we were picking her. I had made a comment. She said, "How are you?" I said, "Well, I'm going to answer that the way one of my dear friends used to say it. I'm fat and sassy." And she said, "Well, the sassy I may agree with, but not the fat." I said, "Well, give me a little while because I'm hoping on the first of the year to put down my pipe. I'm 58. It's time to quit. I need good lungs the rest of my life. And I have a feeling I'm going to look like a mushroom after a while. So please pray for me, all right? That's going to be one of the places where I'm going to struggle. And I need to do what is right. I need to do what is good. And if I have to suffer for it by gaining a little weight, well, then I guess I just have to work harder to get it off. Amen? And sometimes we have to work harder because that which is right isn't always easy. But we need to do that which is right. And if we are suffering for it, so much more the better. It makes it that much more worthwhile. Because it is in that that we are showing the worth it truly has. I want you to think about that as you turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Beginning in the 8th verse, we read these words. "For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from that flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." You and I need to understand that this is exactly what Peter is speaking about. Once again, when we are looking at being better to suffer for that which is good, because we're going to reap what we sow, all right? And if you are sowing good seed, if you are sowing the love of God out into this world and you start suffering because of it, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy, all right? I know Christians who will come at you for the littlest thing, okay? Y'all know we just started a recommendation here at our church, and I'm going to say this out there. We are recommending that everybody wear a mask. The only time you can take it off is during service because we're all seated, separated, and we're not screaming and shouting except the pastor, amen? So we can breathe a little bit easier. But when we get together to fellowship, we'd like you to put it on, not a requirement. We'd like you to put it on. Well, the one thing I don't want happening is police or mask police running around saying, you don't have a mask on, you don't have a mask on. That is not showing the grace of God. All right? I want us to remember we're to love one another and respect one another. Well, what did I just say? Love one another and respect one another. That means that you may have to tolerate some things that you don't like. Suck it up, cupcake. Because there are things in this world and there are things in this life that we are not necessarily going to like. But God loves us if we walk in love towards one another. Can I get an amen? And that's where we need to be. It's about loving one another. And if we love one another, we will do what is necessary to keep one another safe. Amen? To be there for one another, to help someone through the struggles and the trials of their life. And when somebody upsets us, we'll forgive them and walk with them and hopefully grow with them. And this is what's being talked of here. We need to understand that when we die to sin in Christ, we now live unto God. Everything we do is unto God. And what does that mean, unto God? In His likeness. If you're taking notes, write that down. To live unto God is to live in His likeness. In other words, we are righteous and holy. We're doing that which is right and that which is good. And that's where we have to live. That's what God wants of us. Look what He tells us from verses 18 to the end of the chapter. He says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also He went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subject to Him." Brothers and sisters, when we think about what is being told to us here, we are to look at our lives as what Christ did. Christ gave Himself up for us. He laid down His life, the just for the unjust. As we are going through the sufferings that we're going to go through, we need to remember that there are people watching us to see how we respond. Notice I didn't say react. Because as Christians, we're not supposed to be reactionary. We are to be responsible for how we have our being. Did you notice how I just said that? All right. If you are reacting, you are going to flare up in temper and in attitude, and you're the one who needs to check it at the door. But if you are in Christ, you're going to think about what you're going to say and what you're going to do, because you want it to reflect the love of God. We are to take subject every thought that comes into our being and make it prisoner to Christ. Every action that we take is supposed to be there. And as you and I draw closer and closer to the living hope that we have, may we be, as we've already learned, that we are living stones. We cannot be shaken. These things of life cannot shake us. Do you see how all these series, all these sermons tie together? This is not an individual sermon. Yes, it is an individual sermon. It stands on its own. But when you read the book of 1 Peter, this whole thing is one continuous story, and it literally comes to an end and a place where all of it comes together in chapter 5. And we're going to get there. But today, I need you to understand that you're going to go through some suffering. But that suffering is not to harm you. That suffering is to truly sanctify you and help you show the love of Christ, the living hope we have, and the unshakable foundation of Christ in our lives. What's happening right now in our world with this election, what's happening right now in our world with COVID, what's happening right now in your world with your life. You know, we've got folks here looking for jobs. We've got folks here thinking about retirement. We've got folks here. All of us are in a different situation, aren't we? We're all at a different place. We all have our basket, and it's pretty full, isn't it? There are times when we think we can't put another thing in that basket, and all of a sudden what happens? It feels like somebody else dumps their basket right on top of ours. Brothers and sisters, don't fear. Sanctify Christ in your heart. And remember, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Because it's when we stop moving forward, that's when things begin to fall apart. But when we stand in Christ and understand He is there to help us, now we come to a reality that I want us all to remember. And that reality is the fact that we fight not against flesh and blood. In all these things, as these struggles come at you, they're going to come in the forms of people. How many of your struggles come in the forms of people? You know, if you're a parent, you know that answer. It's called your children. Okay? Like the kids are over here now looking at the parents and saying, well, what? What? Yes, it's true. You know, that's what I said when Lily was born. My revenge is here. Because as she grows and does the things that Russell and Noel have to deal with, and we get to be grandparents and say, yep, go to mommy and daddy. And it's the way life works, but it goes on if we don't stop. And if we remember, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And it is the powers and principalities. Look what verse 22 said. Who sat at the right hand of God. This is speaking of Christ. Who sat at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. All the angels, all the powers, all the worldly authorities have been made subject to Christ. Who is our head? Jesus Christ. So we have power and authority over them. We have nothing to fear. For we have become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And no one can separate us from the love of God. No one, nothing. Don't be afraid. Fear God, not man. For there is no suffering that man can bring into your life that will remove your salvation, that can remove you from the place of your eternity. They can destroy this body, okay? But fear not them. Fear the one who can destroy your eternity. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is God Almighty. And in Christ Jesus, He will not forsake us. Amen? With that, I pray that this day that you will look at your salvation and your sufferings wholly different. W-H-O-L-Y and H-O-L-Y. because your sufferings are not meant merely for you, but for the folks who are watching your life and gaining strength from you day by day. And the strength you gain in the victories as we overcome them. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, because we know that our living hope brings us to a place of understanding. We don't suffer for this world's sake. We don't suffer for anything, but we suffer unto you, that in this world others may see your hope, know your love, and receive your salvation. Use us, Father, to your good, and help us to be Christ-like in this world. And for those out there, Lord, who want that relationship, we pray that you would give them the hope, give them the reality to pray your will be done, to receive you this day and walk in the newness of life from this point forward. In Christ's holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.